No, thank you. Okay, thank you everyone for coming out, for braving the elements. I decided to, I guess, veer off our normal approach, and instead of discussing something more cutting edge, I figured we'd have a smaller, we have a smaller crowd, so instead of starting a larger topic, we'll discuss something which is maybe not as exciting as our normal topics, but something definitely just as relevant, if not more relevant, I should say. And it's an interesting topic. It's relevant to us every single week. So it's important to know that we get the halachas right. We're doing it so frequently. So let's just review some of the halachas. But in the context of learning these halachas of Lechem Mishnah, which are learned from a pasuk in this week's parasha, we will see a fascinating chiddush of the Netziv, a famous tshuva that the Netziv wrote, and we'll discuss. I want that to be the focus of our shiur, to see the perspective that the Netziv had, which will be quite surprising. So let's jump into Mar Mokra number one, where the Torah tells us in this week's parasha, "Vayihi bayoyim hashishi loktu lechem mishne shnei haomer leechod vayavo kol nisiyeh ha'eda v'yagidu l'moshe." That's the source for lechem mishne. They had to take in double Erev Shabbos in order to make sure that they had enough on Shabbos, because they weren't collecting on Shabbos. Therefore, we have a din, Zeche Lamon, every Shabbos, every meal during Shabbos, Pashup Shat. There are those that question, maybe Shalosh Shudas doesn't require, but we, at least L'chatchila Paskin, that Shalosh Shudas as well, should have L'chatchila Lechem Mishnah as well. All the meals of Shabbos should have Lechem Mishnah. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos, similar Gemara is found in Maseches Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Mar Mokra number two, Itmar, Hevil Lifneihem Psisin Ushleim. It's very important to appreciate the context of the Gemara, because when we analyze the reasoning behind this din of Lechem Mishnah, so the context of the Gemara will prove somewhat insightful. So the Gemara on this daf, in Lamed Tes Amud Beis, in Maseches Brachos, is discussing Hilchos, the halachas of Bitzias Apas, the halachas of Su'uda. And the Gemara tells us over there that if you have a piece of bread which is cut off, not an entire loaf of bread, not an entirely full roll, but something which is cut up into pieces, and you have something which is a shalem. So what do you make the bracha on? We're all familiar with the halacha. Am Rav Huna mivarech al ha-psisin upaites shlamim. Rav Huna says, better to make the bracha on the psisin, on the pieces, and then you eat the shlamim. You don't make the bracha on the shalem. Rav Yochanan amar, shleima mitzvah min ha-mucher. As we paskin, Rav Yochanan says, no, of course you want to make the bracha on the nicer, entire, the piece, the roll, which is entirely full. That's why important halacha l'maisa. This is only a halacha in Shabbos. Halacha every single time we eat. It's better to make a bracha. It's more of a bracha muhudar if a person makes a bracha on something which is a davar shalim. So you're about to make yourself a tuna sandwich. Better to, instead of slicing the sandwich and putting the tuna in before you make the bracha, be more appropriate, better to make the bracha on the full loaf, take a bite into it, and then you cut it in half and you put the tuna. Because you always want the bracha to be on a davar shalom. That's what the Gemara over here is discussing. Aval prusa shalchit and ushleim misa'irin. Then the Gemara discusses a more detailed, more complex shaila. Let's say one is a shalom, but it's a lower, it's inferior quality. The higher quality, the better quality bread is a broken piece. The shalem is lower quality. So then each one has a milo. One's a shalem, the other one's higher quality. So the Gemara has a separate question of which you make a bracha. The Gemara says, Divri Yaakov mevarech al haprusa shalchitan. The higher quality bread wins out over the shalem. But that's all background. The Gemara continues to say, Amar Rabbi Abba, in the continuation of Mar Mokum number two, Ubishabis Chayiv Adam Liftsoa Alshte Kikaros. But on Shabbos, a person is required to make a bracha on two kikaros, lechem mishnah, my taima, belechem mishnah ksiv, because the pasuk says that we have in this week's parasha lechem mishnah, so Shabbos needs a double portion. Amr Vashi, chazina leilu Rav Kahana dinoka tarti ubotza chada. I saw Rav Kahana, his practice was that he'd make the bracha on two loaves of bread, two pieces of bread, lechem mishnah, ubotza, but he only cut open one of them. Rav Zera have a botza, akulo sherusa. So Rav Kahana used to make a bracha on two, break into one and eat one. Rav Zera used to be botza akula sherusa. What does this mean? He used to break akula sherusa. Says Rashi Mar Makam number three. What does akula sherusa mean? prusa gedayla shahayadayla the kol asuda b'shabbos. According to Rashi, not such a tremendous chiddush. When he would cut that bread open, he would make sure that he cut a big enough piece, which was sufficient to cover his needs for the entire meal. Not such a tremendous chiddush, not necessarily arguing on Rav Kahana. What's important to note is the shita of the Rashba. Take a look at the Rashba, where he has a totally different understanding in what it means. Reb Zeira have a batza akula sherusa, says the Rashba, Maramaka number 4. Rebbe Zeira batza akula sherusa perish. Rashi learns pshat. Prusa gedola shehidalo lekula suuda ve'ena mechuvah ve'ena. Rashi learns that you're cutting off a piece which is good enough for him to have for the remainder of the suuda. And the Rashba says, I don't think this is right pshat in the Gemara, and he brings many proofs. I cut them out, but many proofs that this cannot be pshat in the Gemara. What is the pshat in the Gemara? Says Rashba, elavadai hachi perusha. This is the pshat. Batza al kol hakikaras hamunachos lefanav lechol. The Gemara is bringing a machlekes. Rav Kahana used to make a bracha on two and then cut open only one. But Rav Zeira said, no, if you're making the bracha on two, part of the din of lechem mishnah is not merely sufficient to merely make the bracha on two loaves of bread. You have to break open two. You have to cut through two. The su'uda has to be established on two pieces of bread. That's only if not making bracha is not sufficient. You have to delve into, you have to cut open both of them. Machlekes between Rashi and the Rashban. We'll see soon that it's not so simple how we paskin. But what's more important is to focus on is what's the nechkudas hamachlekes between Rashi and the Rashba. So it could be they're simply just arguing the havana of what the din is of lechem mishnah. And many achronim suggest that there's a big debate going on over here. Not necessarily is it muchrach, do you have to understand like this? But they say from Reb Chaim, and this is what Reb Chaim understood, that the machlokes between the Rashi and the Rashba is not simply what you have to do in the minog of, in the din of lechem mishnah, but they're arguing fundamentally in what the yesod of this din of lechem mishnah is. Is the din of lechem mishnah a din in the bracha? That the bracha of a normal suda throughout the week has to be on a shalim. The bracha of Shabbos, we make it because of lechem mishnah, we go further. Not only do you need a shalem, you need two shlemim. It's in the context of the halacha of shlemim. That's why I brought for you the context of the Gemara. As we see, the Rambam puts it in the same context. It's in the halachas of Hilchos Suda. So just like during the week you need a shalem, Shabbos we go a little bit further. The bracha doesn't only have to be on a shalem, it has to be on two shlemim. Or no, we're not talking about the bracha. This isn't Hilchos brachas. It's not a din to make the bracha. A good bracha has to be on a shalem, has to be on two shalem. Totally separate din. This is a din in betzias hapas. You have to establish that the su'uda was established with lechem mishnah. So to establish that the su'uda was a su'uda that began with lechem mishnah, it's not good enough to make the bracha on lechem mishnah. You have to make the su'uda on lechem mishnah. That requires one to actually break through, be botzeya, cut through both. They're arguing, is it a din in Hilchos brachas, we could say, or is it a din in Hilchos su'udas Shabbos? And there'll be many nafkamina between these two understandings. Is it a din Hilchos brachas? Again, similar to the regular din of you have to make a bracha normally, or it's better to make a bracha normally on a shalem. So too, on Shabbos, we go one step further and we say we need two shleimim, or no, nothing to do with Hilchos Bracha. Separate din on Shabbos, Zeich Leman, that you have to eat, or you don't have to eat, but at least you have to establish that the meal is established based on breaking through two loaves of bread.
The Bracha is on both of them, or on one of them, and there's another one that's there. Stop. In other words,
according to
bracha on something, you can't just make a bracha and then not eat, right? I mean,
just like you don't have to eat the entire loaf of bread, so Rashi would argue the bracha is still chal on both, but I don't have to eat everything; I just have to eat a part of it. So, but at least to make the bracha chashuva, it has to be on a shalem. Even I'm not going to eat the whole thing, but the bracha is a bracha chashuva because it's on a shalem. So perhaps one could argue the same thing. The bracha is even more of a bracha chashuva if it's on two loaves. Not necessarily do I have to eat the entire thing. Do I have to eat from both loaves? I put them together. As long as I am toim a little bit, that's enough to be mekayim my din. So let's take a look. The Rambam puts it in the same context of the Gemara, which makes us think that this is a halacha just very similar to the regular din of Shalem. And we get to the tshuva of the Netziv, which is what I'm trying to lead up to. This machakira will prove to be very, very fundamental. That's why I want to spend some time developing it. Take a look at just the context of the Rambam. The Rambam will tell us too many chidushim, but from the placement of the Rambam, you could often infer how he understands a halacha. Take a look at the Rambam, Aramakam on number 5. Min hagais rabbis nogu chachma yisrael besuda. He's talking about regular halachas besuda, not shulei the Shabbos. What are the halachas of suda? V'kulan derech eretz, the appropriate way for a person to proceed during while eating a meal. V'eluhen kishenichnasim l'suda hagadol shebekulan notels yadav tchila. The greatest person washes his hands first. The Rosh has a long discussion about that, whether that's still true. If a person is going to have to wait along in line, perhaps the greatest person should be last. Why should I have to wait online? But the Gemara says pashup shat that a person, the greatest person, washes first. V'acher kach nichnasim v'yoshim misab umesubin. Misubin. V'gadol mesiv berosh. The great person, the biggest one, sits at the head. V'sheni l'lamata imenu. And as the Gemara goes through all the halachas of the suda. Halacha beis. Balabayis mevarech hamotzi. Umashlim habracha, he finishes the bracha, ve'acher kach botzei, because you need the bracha to be chal on the entire loaf, so therefore you can't break the loaf, you can't cut through until the bracha is finished. Ve'areach mivarech birkas hamazon, and he honors the guest with benching. Halacha dalet, I skipped halacha gim, halacha dalet, mitzvah min hamuvchar livtsoa kikar shleima. It's a mitzvah min hamuvchar, like the Gemara told us in Masechta Shabbos, that a person should make a bracha on a kikar shleima. Im ha'isa sham shleima shal so'orim reprusa shalchitim aniach shleima v'soch prusa uvaitzei mishteim kidei sheyivtza mechitim u mishleima. Similar to the Gemara tells us the halachas that you should have a shalim. Comes the Rambam and says, in this context, b'shabasas v'yom tovim chayiv livtsoa al shtei kikaros. So it's just a sniff, it's a detail within the halachas of Hilchas Shleimas, that during the week you need one shleim, during, on Shabbos you need two shleim. So, for instance, what would an afkamina of this chakira might be? One could argue, again, not necessarily mukhrach, but one could argue. There's a lot of literature about whether each person that's part of the Seuda, right? We know that women are obligated in Lechem Mishnah as well. That's what the Gemara tells, that's what the Rishonim point out. The Chidush Eran Amar Makom number 6 points out. There are those that argue with this, but most Ruba of the Rishonim say that women are argued, that the whole thing is Eichel Aman. The women definitely benefited from the man as well. Af hey, and how you ois benes. Take a look in Amar Makom number 6, where the Ran says, because of Rebbeinu Tamzal, dinoshim chayavos b'shalosh su'udas, they're chayavim shalosh u'udas. V'cheinami livtsoa al shteki karos, they're chayavim lechem mishnah. Sha'af hein hayu ba'oysa hanes. They also oysa hanes. The Ran continues to say that he doesn't think you need that reason of af hein hayu ba'oysa hanes. He thinks even without that they should be mechayavos. But it seems that most Rishonim agree that a woman is chayav in lechem mishnah. The problem began to develop. You see that there are many tshuvas written. Seems like it was more of a problem by the Chassidim, that the women would be officially part of this Seuda, and therefore they wouldn't have their own Lechem Mishnah, but they wouldn't be eating together with the men. So they would, right. So therefore they wouldn't hear the bracha necessarily, but they would take the challah that the husband or that the Rebbe already made a bracha on and cut into pieces. Then they'd pass the challah around to the table, they'd give some to the women. The women would sit down and make their own bracha. So the shaila became, are you mekayim the mitzvah of lechem mishnah? Yes, you're right that the Baal HaBayis, the Gadol Shebabayis, he had lechem mishnah. But you weren't yoytze with that bracha. So who said that you're yoytze the lechem mishnah? This was a big problem. It seems like from the literature, it seems like it's a big problem because there are many, many tshuvas written about how women are mekayim the din of lechem mishnah. Again, the way that we have our meals doesn't seem to be such a big issue. But apparently this was a big deal. And then many of the poskim started to discuss, so what do you really need to be mekayim the din of lechem mishnah? Does it have to be that you're mekayim through that particular bracha, that you're yoytzi with the bracha that was made on the lechem mishnah? Or perhaps one could argue, no, that as long as I'm part of this seuda, lechem mishnah is not a din in hilchos brachas. Shleimas may be din hilchos brachas. But, okay, so I don't have a shalim. But lechem mishnah, the chiyav that I have, either midaraisa, according to many poskim hold that lechem mishnah is a din daraisa. Others say, no, it's not daraisa, it's a derabon, it's a cross machtva alma. But that halacha, that din that I have, that's a din in the seuda. And as long as I am considered part of this seuda, yeah, it might be that I'm sitting someplace else, but apparently it was clearly understood that I'm part of the same seuda, so therefore I'm still mekayim the din of lechem mishnah. So that would presumably be dependent on this chakira that we're raising right now. Is the din in lechem mishnah a din in hilchos brachos? Therefore, if I want to be mekayim lechem mishnah with your lechem mishnah, I have to be yotze through your bracha. I can't make my own bracha on a piece later because your bracha, if I'm not yotze with that, that's what I need for lechem mishnah. It has to be that the bracha of a maitzi was made on two bread. My bracha now is going to be made on a prusa. So, or no, as long as the su'uda was established based with a bracha on lechem mishnah, so even if I make my own bracha later, so it's 100% fine, and I was mekayim the din of lechem mishnah.
It's a Shabbos
thicker din. Yeah, it's a separate Shabbos din. Suda Shabbos has to have lechem.
Well, I mean, we know that by Birchas Hanenin, I can't make a bracha on your apple. I mean, on my, you can't make a bracha for me on my apple. I'm going to eat an apple, make my own bracha.
If you also have an apple, you can, though. If we both have apples, so you're able to.
Ah.
Right? So you're only not allowed to make a bracha for my apple if you don't have an apple. Midrabanan, we say that for Birchas Hanenin, you don't say Afa Pisha Yotza Maitzi. But here, both people have. So maybe I'm Yotze with your Birchas Hanenin. That's the question. So let's take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan, where he seems to allude to this problem. Marmuk number 7. Gam Noshim Chayavis Lifzoa Al Shtei Kikaros. A woman is obligated to have Lechem Mishnah. Dekomili De Shabbos Shavis Noshim La Noshim. Because with regard to Shabbos, men and women are always equal. V'lechein Hamidaktikim Noagim. You have to be careful, says Aruch HaShulchan. Shabbal Abayis Kishanota Al Yodov Eino Botzeya At Sheyitlu Kol HaMisubin. You can't make the bracha until everyone's by the table. And even if you're going to tell me everyone has their own lechem mishnah, the women don't have their own lechem mishnah, so you have to be sure they need to be mekayim the din of lechem mishnah as well. So you have to make sure that they're being miyotze with your bracha because you want them to be mekayim the din of lechem mishnah. If they make their own bracha on a prusa, they are not mekayim the din of lechem mishnah. Many poskim point out like this. Many of the chassidish poskim try to be matzdik the minug that it, such a thing is not necessary. Some even go as far as to say that we don't pass on that women need lechem mishnah. But this seemed to be a big taram in the Olam HaChassidus. But the Aruch HaShulchan says, of course, you have to make sure that everyone by the Suda is going to be there, being yotzei. If they don't have their own lechem mishnah, they're being yotzei with your bracha. That's the din of lechem mishnah. If you take a look at the next Maramaka, Moshe Sternbach quoted this, what we are quoting from Reb Chaim, that it's not so simple. That Reb Chaim said, it depends on the Smachoikis, Rashi, and the Rashba. If you go like Rashi, that it's halacha, and the halacha of brachas, like Shemus, so then maybe in a chanami, your bracha has to be on lechem mishnah. But if you go like the Rashba, that's a din of hilchas betzias apas, as long as we're staying part of the same Su'udah Shabbos, and this Su'udah Shabbos was established with A, two, lechem mishnah. So even if a woman makes her own bracha on her little piece of challah, still she's mekayim the din of lechem mishnah. Before we jump into the tshuva of the netziv, which I wanted to spend some time analyzing, let's just make sure we have the halachas down. It would be a shame to go through an entire shiur of lechem mishnah and we would still be doing it incorrectly. So let's just chazer up the halachas. Over time, person could forget, and it could be we slipped up on some of the halachas. The Shulchan Aruch paskins,
Could it, for instance, Baal HaBayis be motzi lechem mishnah? Could the Baal HaBayis be motzi? Let's say a person is only eating. He doesn't eat hamotzi, but the Baal HaBayis is making a suda and has lechem mishnah. Could you say that because he's part of the suda? Let's say he makes kiddush on chal or something like that. Makes kiddush on chal.
But you're not having part of that chal. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, that has chal, but you go to Kiddush and you go to say
lechem mishnah
maybe. No, mm-hmm. You could say that. I don't know.
It's like a Kiddush.
Could you be
the din of for sure not according to Rashi? Could be according to the Rashba that such a thing would be possible. The Poskim do discuss this. But I don't remember how they come out whether a person is not able to eat bread, whether there is a din of lechem mishnah for him. So that shaila is discussed in more, I saw in more recent svar. But it's interesting to analyze it based on this chakir. So let's take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, Maramaka number 10. I put it in the wrong order by accident. First we'll look at Maramaka number 10, then we'll go back to 9. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Botseya al shtei kikaros. You have to establish the su'udan to kikaros. Now that word in parentheses, it's unclear who put that there, but that is going to prove when we get to the Netziv, that's going to be proved to be the key to the whole sugya. So do these kikaros have to be shleimus or not shleimus? Presumably you say, obviously have to be shleimus. Even during the week, I need shleimus over here. Okay.
Well,
Okay, so let's see. Let's see. Sha'ochei shteyem biyadi. You have to hold both of them in your hand. Ubotzeya hatachtona. You cut through the bottom one. You put them on top of each other. You cut through the bottom chala. Says the Ramah, v'dafka b'leilei Shabbos. Avu b'yoyme Shabbos. O b'leilei yomtif b'yitzeya al ha'yoyne v'atam hu derech ha'kabal. So this is important. The minig is that al derech ha'kabal, a person, you put the one that you're gonna cut, and you have to make a little mark in it. That's the halacha. So you put that one on the bottom, and that's the one you cut first. There's a shayla of ein mavir nala mitzvah. The Taz discussing over here. You bring it closer to you. But during the day, and leila yomtif, you cut through the top one. It says in Sif Beis, mitzvah levtzoa b'shabbos b'trusa gedol, shetaspi lo kol asuda. Sif Gimel, ein ha-mesubin rasha'in litom ad sheyitom ha-botzeya. V'miyesh lefan lefnei kolecha ve'echad, lecha mishnu yicholin litom. Everyone has to wait. An important halacha brought by the Rishonim already, Maseches Brachos. People have to wait till the botzeya eats. You have to wait till the botzeya eats before you eat your challah. You can't eat your, even though you're yaitzi with his amaitzi, can't eat your challah before. The batzeh therefore should take a bite right away, which is the normal minhag. How do we paskin?
Talking about that everybody has two challahs in front of them.
Yes.
The Baal HaBayis is baking, and then they don't make their own bracha.
Right. They can be yaitzi still with his bracha.
So what's it, but if he's doing lecha mishpah, why does everybody need two lecha mishpah?
Because they want to eat, they don't have to wait for him to eat. They want to eat it before.
Right. It's a practical.
Or it's a, yeah.
Okay, 40 people.
Let's just see how we paskin in terms of these halachas. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Marmaka number 9. V'nochen linoik shezeb shabotzei yichavein liftor bebirchas amotzi kol mesubin. He has to be moitzi everyone in birchas amotzi, and he also has to be moitzi them in lechem mishnah. V'gam yoyim ala mesubin sheyichavnu lotzeis birchasa kadei shekulam yeitzu belechem mishnah. They're being yoitzi their din of lechem mishnah with his lechem mishnah. That's why we say before we make lamoitzi, chshimoitzi echerim yoimer birishos. So you say barabaisai. Why? To tell them you're being yoitzi, your din of lechem mishnah, your bracha with me. Biyadoi b'shasamoitzi, you should be holding the chala. Ubaitzei asherei loy nemar lechem mishnah ela bilikita. This is the shita of Rashi. Why does Rashi say that you don't need? This is how the Mishnah Berurah understands it, right? That you don't need to cut through both, because all we say lechem mishnah by the mon is when you were gathering the mon. So just same too, when I gather the challah, that's when I need lechem mishnah. Who says I need to cut through them? Then the Mishnah Berurah brings the shita of the Rashba. The Vilna Gaon paskin like the Rashba, that a person should cut through both. It's a big machlekes achrayim. In Lithuania, the minhag was to go like the Vilna Gaon, was to go through like the Rashba. So there is a tremendous mal yusa. Again, we paskin me'ikra din, you only have to cut through one, like Rashi. But there is a mal yusa. Many people have the minhag to cut through both. Therefore, the person shouldn't have two big challahs. You could easily have one big challah and one little tiny challah. So therefore, you have lechem mishnah, and you cut through both of them. You're mekayim both the sheet of the Rashi and sheet of the Rashba, like the Vilna Gaon paskin.
Eat from both?
Yeah. No, you just have to cut through both. You don't have to eat necessarily from both. You cut through both, and you give both, and you establish.
And you cut at the same time.
What?
At the same
no, you have to have for each. You have to have for each meal. You have to have for each meal. Okay, you eat it. Presumably, you eat it like the rest of the chal.
If you go like the grow, how do you have the kabbalah in of cutting the tachtona?
You cut the tachtona first, and then you cut the alyon.
But at the same time, you don't wait like. Cut right through.
Yeah.
Cut the first.
Yeah, and then the
Aliyah. Have a lot of people in the soup, then you have to cut.
Right. That's true. You cut the Tachtona, then you cut the Aliyah. That's what most Lithuanian Jews practice.
You cut both at the same time.
Which one's on top? Many people have what you do is you put the Tachtona for the bracha. You make a little sliver on the Tachtona. You keep that on the bottom for the bracha, then before you cut, you take the tachton, you put it on top, and you cut through both. So the tachton is being cut first. But what I really want to discuss, this was all background, and I felt like I couldn't give a shir in lechem mishnah without chazring the halachas. What I really want to discuss is the tshuva of the netziv. And I brought in an Aruch HaShulchan over here, as you saw on the first page, because the netziv and the Aruch HaShulchan were related. How are the netziv and the Aruch HaShulchan related? So this is somewhat important for Rashi.
Nephew. He was his nephew.
Not exactly. The netziv married the Aruch HaShulchan, or the Aruch HaShulchan married the Netziv's sister, their brothers-in-law. Oh. Now the Aruch HaShulchan, the Netziv ended up marrying his niece from that marriage, in the second marriage. The Netziv was a brother-in-law with the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan's daughter ended up marrying the Netziv in the second Zivuk. Now that makes the Netziv, the Aruch HaShulchan's son, who wrote the Torah Tmima, wrote another sefer called the Mekor Baruch. From that sefer Mekor Baruch was a sefer called My Uncle and Itziv, right, which was published. There's a lot of controversial things in that. It was written by the Torah Tamimah's, by the Torah Tamimah, the Aruch HaShulchan's son. So the Torah Tamimah was the nephew of the Netziv, my uncle Netziv, and was also the brother-in-law of the Netziv from the Zivug Sheni, because he married his sister. Now, why is this all important? Because that was all the Netziv's second marriage. What was the Netziv's first marriage? Netziv's first marriage was to Rav Itzel of Volozhiner's daughter. He was a son-in-law of Itzel of Volozhiner. Rav Chai Volozhiner started the famous Volozhiner yeshiva. Then Rav Chai Volozhiner gave it over to his son, Rav Itzel of Volozhiner. After Rav Itzel of Volozhiner died, Rav Itzel of Volozhiner's oldest son-in-law, I believe it was, took over, but only for a amount of 2 years before he died. What? Then, after he died, the question was, who's going to be Rosh Yeshiva? So the question was between the Netziv, who was Rav Itzel of Volozhiner's son-in-law from his first marriage, and he was still married to his first wife, and or a direct grandson of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, who was the Beis HaLevi. So there's a tremendous machlokes ensued between the Beis HaLevi and the Netziv. This is a machlokes l'shem shemaim. As you see, many generations later, the Netziv's granddaughter married who?
Rav Chaim.
Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. And Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, so the married families didn't hold it against each other. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik ended up being the Rosh Yeshiva of the Volozhiner Yeshiva. So it was a big machlokes, and it was much more than just who's going to be Rosh Yeshiva. The two approaches were totally diametrically opposed. You had the Beis HaLevi, who was a very charismatic, who was a brisker approach. Again, Reb Chaim hadn't come yet, but the Derech HaLimud was a new, cutting-edge Derech HaLimud. The Netziv was much more B'Derech Pilpul. And it was a big debate within the yeshiva. There were two factions in the yeshiva. They each had their own Talmidim. It's a very fascinating piece of history to read this debate. The Shaila was, how are we going to take it? What's the next step of the yeshiva? They ultimately decide we can't both be Rosh Yeshiva. The Talmud, as it often happens, the Talmidim got too involved in the Machlekes, and that part got a little bit uglier, and therefore they decided we can't both be Rosh Yeshiva, we have to go to Din Torah. They went to Din Torah, sitting on that Din Torah were all the Gedolei Olam of the time, most notably Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan Spector, and the Bez and Paskin that the Netziv was the Rosh Yeshiva. Rabbi Yashaber, the Beis HaLevi, goes, becomes a Rav in Slutsk, ultimately becoming a Rav in Brisk, and then his grandson marries and it's his granddaughter a couple generations later, and Reb Chaim comes back and gives a renowned shir in the Volozhiner Yeshiva. But the Netziv brought the Volozhiner Yeshiva to its height. There were a lot of things going on at that time. They, with the Russian government wanting to shut down the Volozhiner Yeshiva, did shut down a few times, but the Netziv made sure that the Yeshiva was continuously growing, both in quality and in quantity. It was really the height of the Volozhiner Yeshiva was under the Netziv's watch from around the 1850s to the beginning of the 19th, till right before the turn of the century. Now, so the Netziv got this job because he was, obviously he was a gadol. He wrote in his teenage years, he wrote his Perish Hamek Shela. Hamek Shela is a perish on the She'iltas, Rav Haigon. It was a closed book until the Netziv opened it. And as a teenager, he writes this. There's a very popular myth that has been circulating within our circles recently that the Netziv was almost like, in his early years, he was a lo yitzlach. He was a below average intelligence. Most of the Jewish historians have proven that that seems to not be the case. Again, I don't know what his youth is, but by the time he was a teenager, he already wrote his perish on the She'iltas. So it couldn't have been, maybe he had a few years where he was a little bit slow, but definitely wasn't too far about, right.
Send him back to work.
Right, exactly. That's the story, but as far as we can tell, there's nothing that shows that there's any validity to that story. If it's inspiring, good, okay, it's an inspiring story, but I don't think there's any proof that such a thing happened. It was a goyin olam. You could see from his tshuvas, from the she'iltas, just the bekiyas that he had, and it was just tremendous. He spent a lot of time, as well as we know, on his perish al ha'Torah. Why was his perish al ha'Torah so important? Besides the fact that it's beautiful, ha'mikdover, beautiful perish, but at the time, it was a very, very essential. At that time, we're talking about when the maskilim were trying to make divisions between the pshat in the psukim and what Chazal say the pshat in the psukim is. And they say, Chazal are totally taking the psukim away from the Pashup Shat. The Netziv spent a long time, Ksava Kabbalah did a very similar thing, Ksava HaKabbalah, trying to show that, no, the Pashup Shat and the psukim could be understood like Chazal. That's the main goal of the Netziv in his parish at HaMakdover, and he was at the center of this war, being at the helm of the main the biggest yeshiva at the time, the Volozhiner yeshiva. Okay, so the Netziv got the, was a Rosh Yeshiva because he was a son-in-law of the Issel Volozhiner. This tshuva is written from the Netziv, one of the most famous tshuvas of the Netziv, was written from the Netziv to his son. And the Shaila came to the Netziv from his son after having a meal at his grandfather's house. Presumably, I can imagine, I'm making up some of this, but I assume what happened is, his son was in the Volozhiner Yeshiva, and he ate a Shabbos meal at his grandfather, Rav Itzel of Volozhiner. And you know, one of the perks of being Rosh Yeshiva's grandson is everyone wants to come with you to the Rosh Yeshiva, right? So you get invited for that meal, and you get to go to Rosh Yeshiva. So presumably he invited some of his chaverim to eat the meal with Rav Itzel of Volozhiner. And the chaverim there, again, all budding Tamidei Chachamim in the Volozhiner Yeshiva, see something startling. They see that someone came into the meal, or people used to come stop by Rav Itzel of Volozhiner, and they were late. They're ready along, they're ready up to the soup, they're ready up to the chalent, who knows, they're well into the meal. People came in and they needed to start the meal. And there's no more lechem mishnah over here. But Rav Itzel of Volozhiner is not fazed at all. What does he do? He takes two pieces of challah from the middle of the table that he had cut up, gives it to the person, and says, okay, here's your lechem mishnah, go make a bracha and catch up to us. And the bachrim from the Volozhiner Yeshiva turn to the Netziv's son and they say, what's going on over here? He doesn't know about the din of lechem mishnah. But this is not lechem mishnah. You can't just take two slices of bread and call that lechem mishnah. So they get in a little bit of a machlekes. Apparently, they weren't convinced by the Netziv's son's arguments. The Netziv's son says, you know what, to ask the Rosh Yeshiva, what are you doing? Maybe that's too much chutzpah. I'm going to write a letter to my father, say, what's the minhag by Zaydi? What's he doing over here? This is not lechem mishnah. Two slices of bread is lechem mishnah. So what's the real question? Before we jump into the proofs, let's analyze the question. Basically, the shaila is as follows. Is the halacha of lechem mishnah totally separate from the halacha of shlemus? The same question that we started off the shir. Is it totally separate from the halacha of shlemus? Two separate things. There happens to be a halacha in Hilchos Betzias Hapas, you have to make a bracha on a shalom. Now we have a separate halacha. It says lechem mishnah by Shabbos, by the Mon, so you need to have a double portion. If I need to have a shalom to make a bracha on, and I also need to have lechem mishnah, so what am I going to have? I'm going to have two loaves of bread, two shlemus. But let's say for some whatever reason I don't have shlemus. Does that mean I don't have lechem mishnah? So you take a loaf of bread, you cut it in half, now I have two? Who said it has to be two shleimim? Maybe I just need two? That's lechem mishnah. Normally we try to have two shleimim, because in general you're supposed to have shleimim even without lechem mishnah. So who said shleimim and lechem mishnah have anything to do with each other? There's one din of shleimim, you should have shleimim. Another din of lechem mishnah, you should have two. The best thing, to have two shleimim. But if you can't have two shleimim, as long as you have two pieces of bread, that's the din of lechem mishnah. Therefore, I could have two pieces of bread, I'm not Mekayim Shleimim, okay, I came late, I'm not Mekayim Shleimim, but I'm still Mekayim Din of Lechem Mishnah. Or do you say, no, the whole Din of Lechem Mishnah is built on this Din of Shleimus, like the Rambam seems to blaze it. There's a Din of Shleimus during the week, and on Shabbos, not only do you need a Shalem, you need two Shleimim. So, having two pieces of bread doesn't do anything for you. Part of the Din of Lechem Mishnah is not that I need two Shleimim. So what's the Psak Halacha? What's the Psak? Do we paskin that you need two Shleimim for Lechem Mishnah? Or no, Shleimim is one Din. That's Halacha all the time, you need a Shleim. If I don't have a Shleim, I still need lechem mishnah, I need two. Doesn't say two shleim, two pieces of bread. Two half pieces of bread. I need two things. That's a zeich laman. Why have two slices of bread instead of one slice of bread? Zeich laman that they got a double portion. This is the shiloh that the netziv is. You don't normally think about it. Normally you think about, let's say I have a loaf of bread, I split it in half. That's not two, that's a half. But why isn't that two? It's double. We normally think you need two shleim. Mechtes, you need two shleim. So let's see what happened at the between the Netziv and his son, the remaining time. Marmakum number 11. Masha sha'alta odos aminag bebeis choisni. You asked me about the custom in your grandfather's house, my father-in-law, Hagoyin Mari, Rabbi Yitzchak, Itzel of Volozhiner, biz acher echon mea besubin. When one of the guests came, b'shabas kodesh, v'yomtev, nosen lo shnei chatichos lechem mishnah, gave him two pieces of bread for lechem mishnah. V'hikshu achaveirim, and your friends asked you, does elo chashuv lechem mishnah? That's not considered lechem mishnah. And where do they bring a raya from? If you want to discuss a shayla about lechem mishnah, whether a piece of bread is considered lechem mishnah or not, where are you going to go to? You're going to go to Seder night. We know you have on Seder night a big machlokes between the Rosh and the Rif. The Rif says you need 2 matzahs. We pass on like the Rosh that you need 3 matzahs. Why do you need 3 matzahs? Said the friends to the Netziv's son. Why do you need 2-3 matzahs? If I could have a piece of bread, a cracked off, and that's considered to be Lechem Mishnah, the Rosh would agree that I could just have 2 matzahs. The Rosh says I need 3 matzahs. Why? Because I need 2 shleimim for Lechem Mishnah, and I need the prusa for Lechem Oini. So I bring you a proof from the Rosh, said the friends to the Netziv's son, that for the fact the Rosh says on Leila Seder you need 2 whole matzahs, obviously, for Lechem Mishnah, you need 2 whole ones. It's not good enough to have 2 pieces of bread. That was their proof. And the Tziv comes and he turns the whole thing on their head. Ve'heviu, second line. Ve'heviu raya meharosh, shehitzrich b'leil Pesach shleimim, levad habatzua. Vidacha isam, and you turned them down. You rejected your friend's argument, alanochen, and you were correct to do that. Dahode hitzrich harosh shleimim, because that which the rush required shleimim, eino elo mitzvah min amuvchar, that's only to require levarich al hashalem, kamal be'echad. Yeah, of course there's a mitzvah min amuvchar to make a bracha on a shalem. Just like during the week there's a mitzvah min amuvchar to make a bracha on a shalem, so on Shabbos and on Yom Tov there's a mitzvah min amuvchar to make a bracha on 2 shleimim. But does that mean that if they're not shalem, you're not mekayim the din of Lechem Mishnah? No, if they're not shalem, you're not mekayim the din of shleimim. If they're not, but you're still mekayim the din of Lechem Mishnah. So why did the Rosh require a 3rd matzah of shalem? That was only to accomplish this din that you should have a mitzvah min amuvchar. Umiholo area. Ach masha shol. Oh, but here's a good question, says the Netziv. So the Netziv says, I would want to tell you 2 totally separate dinim. There's a din of shalem, and there's a din of Lechem Mishnah, nothing to do with each other. And if you don't have shleimim, you should at least take 2 pieces of bread to make kind of din of Lechem Mishnah. Says in Itziv, but I ran into a problem with this theory. What's the problem? Says in Itziv, ach, on the 4th line, ach, ma sheshol, oh, de'imkein ma yeshlo echad, mi sheyeshlo echad. Let's say a person only has 1 loaf of bread. What should he do based on the Netziv's logic? You only have 1 loaf of bread, so you don't have Lechem Mishnah, but it's a shalim. What should you do according to the Netziv's logic? You should break it into 2, exactly, to have Lechem Mishnah. Because Lechem Mishnah might be a din d'araisa. Yeah, it's certainly going to be doicha the din of shalim. We'll see how he concludes. But the logic seems to be very basic. If I have the din of Lechem Mishnah, I could be Mekayim without Shleimim. So when I only have 1 loaf of bread, simple solution. You could be Mekayim Lechem Disha. Just split it into 2. So why does the Ramah tell me to do that, says the Netziv. My logic makes so much sense. Mishi Yesh Lechem Shalem. 4th line. Ra Yesh Levtoh Shnei Prusas Lechayim Lechem Mishnah. V'loi Kein Misbar Das Ramah. But the Ramah doesn't say that. Dizel L'shoinu L'fachos Lo Yelos V'suda Shlichot Pachos Mikikar Echad Shalem. The Ramah says the Shal Shuz, you should make sure at least to have 1 kikar shalem. The Netziv says, according to me, it's impossible that a person will ever have 1 kikar shalem. Because if I have 1 kikar shalem, then I'm automatically going to be Mekayim the Din of Lechem Mishnah, because I'll be able to cut it in half. What do you see? From the fact that the Ramah envisions a scenario where a person only has 1 kikar shalem, shows that he holds that you shouldn't split it into 2. Says the Netziv, I don't understand. Why should I not split it into 2? I could still be Mekayim the Din of Lechem Mishnah. Obviously, says the Netziv, you see from the Ramah, that the Ramah held, no, the Ramah held that Lechem Mishnah doesn't just mean 2. Lechem Mishnah means 2 shleimim. I need 2 shleimim.
Yeah, he held that for Shal Shuvos. You didn't need a Lechem Mishnah.
No, the Ramah seems to hold that you do.
He specifically says Shal.
He seems to hold that you do, and he says, but at least you should have 1. That's the context of the Ramah. I should have brought the whole Ramah. But he's talking about in that context. He says you should have Lechem Mishnah, but at least you should be makbet to have 1. It's his argument. What do you mean? If I have 1, I have 2. There should be no scenario where I only have 1.
I'm just saying that maybe a shalem. If you have 1 shalem,
yeah.
1 shalem and a prusa is better than 2 prusos.
What about 1 shalem and 2 prusas? What's better?
No. I'm saying leave at least a shalem over a shalem and a prusa. That means
that's what the Ramah means? It sounds like the Ramah's talking about all you have is one kikar, 1 shalem. That's what it sounds like in the context. I should have brought the Ramah here. If you take a look at the Ramah, it sounds like he said the chili should have 2, but if you only have 1, it's also okay for shal shudas. Okay. The suyesh lahakshas. Another question on what I'm saying says in itziv. Suyesh lahakshas mitaisis brachas vehilchas adzel lishon atoisis umiu b'shabbos nochon lahachmir ulevarich kodem sheyachtoch Shelo liftzoa kodem shetichla bracha she'oz lo yiyel lechem mishnah. It says in Itziv, Tosis and Brachas tells me I have to make sure that I don't start cutting before I finish the bracha, because if I start cutting before I finish the bracha is not chal on lechem mishnah. It says in Itziv, according to what I'm saying, of course the bracha is chal on lechem mishnah, right? Because fakeret, it's more lechem, it's double the amount because I already cut it. Cutting doesn't take away lechem mishnah. Cutting takes away from shalein. Tosis says it takes away from lechem mishnah. Why did it take away from lechem mishnah? Seems to be that these poskim hold that no, lechem mishnah doesn't simply mean double. It means that I need two shleimim. So the Tziv says I have a problem. First of all, it seems like the Ramah and the Tosis seems to say that you need two shleimim. On the other hand, he says it seems like from the Rif. What does the Rif hold? We don't have time to read it inside. What does the Rif hold on Leil Seder? On Leil Seder, you have one full matzah and one prusa. How am I making the din of lechem mishnah according to the Rif? Says the Nitziv. The Nitziv says your friends were coming to you from the Rosh. What about according to the Rif? What? So he says maybe he'll say it's different because of lechem oni, but he says nowhere do we see that lechem oni takes away the din of lechem mishnah. Presumably Leil Seder, you're also making the din of lechem mishnah. And he proves that that's the pshat in the Rif, and he goes on to prove that even the Rosh agrees to that, that you could be Mekayim if the Rosh holds, if you don't have three matzahs, of course you have one full one, and one broken one, you're Mekayim the din of Lechem Mishnah. So he says, I don't understand. On the one hand, I have a Ramah and Tosis, which seem clear, that Lechem Mishnah means not two, but two Shleimim. On the other hand, I have a Rif and a Rosh, who clearly seem to say that I can be kind of the din of lechem mishnah with a broken piece. What's the pshat? It says the Nesiv.
It came from a shalei.
Okay.
Maybe that's something.
So listen but to what the Nesiv says. Running out of time. Listen to what the Nesiv says. That's an interesting pshat. The Nesiv says something similar, but fascinating chiddush, which is could be used halacha l'maisa. Everyone finds themselves in these situations. Shas hadchak. Milchatchila, I wouldn't say ever to rely on this. Most of the poskim disagree. It's important to know the sheet of the Nitziv, which is why I wanted to discuss it tonight. Second paragraph. How did the bread come to the table? In bo halechem lifaneinu shalem o afilu paris im nifras v'nakdem ikamosi mikri chaser. If you brought the bread to the table and it was complete, and then you cut it in half, that's considered a prusa, and the poskim say prusa is not good for lechem mishnah, you need a shalem. But says the Nitziv, shalem doesn't mean, we normally think shalem means how it was baked. Says the Nitziv, shalem does not mean how it was baked. Shalem means how was it brought to this suda. You get to define the shalem. So you have a piece, you have a loaf of bread in the kitchen, but ready cut into slices of challah. So says the Nitziv, theoretically you could take two of those slices, bring them to the table, and that has a din of shalem legabe this meal. Because when do you side the shalemus of a piece of bread? Not when it comes out of the oven, but when it comes to your table. Says in Itziv, let's read it inside. In ba lechem lefanenu shalem, o afilu paros, im nefaris v'noktem mikamoisim mikri chaser, af legav de im mitchila haya ba lefanenu lechem katan kazet, haya kori lechem shapir, even if it originally you would have brought to the table like this, it would have been fine. Aval kevan shen nefaris, since you broke it here at the table, loy mikri lechem, aval im ba paros lefanenu, if you bring a piece, a broken piece of challah to the table, v'loy nishtane mekamusha haya mikri lechem shapir, then and that's still considered to be a lechem, it's still considered to be a shalem, and you're mekayim v'din. Ulahachi shapir kosef ramah, and that's what the ramah means. Tilechachila yirash yelo asuda shlishas, lechem echad shalem. You should at least make sure that you have a shalem. V'lo mahaniyim yifros lishnayim. At this point, it won't help you to cut it into two, because you already brought it to the table as one. Now I can't cut it into two, because then it's considered to be a chaser. If you remember before you brought it to the table, then in the kitchen, you cut it into two, you have two shlemim, according to the Nitziv. But since you already brought it to the table, balifanenu as one, now to cut it into two would consider half. And he explains, that's why we're makbid, to break the matzahs before magid. Why don't we break the matzahs after, right before we're going to make the brachas of hamoitzi and alachilas matzah? He says, because by the time we come to then it's too late already. You can't break it. We break it before, so that by the time we get to the bracha, this is how it came to us. You're ready, Mekayim the Din of Lechem Mishnah. Fascinating Chiddush of the Nitziv.
How does that answer to Shver? How does that answer to Rav Yitzchak Fetter?
Because
good kasha, good teretz. Take a look. Four lines up. What?
That you could break the bread before you come to the table. I don't think he means that.
No, it sounds like he does.
In other words, if it's broken, not you breaking it, someone else.
You saying you can't break it? Really? Let's see. Fourth line up from the bottom. V'chein kadaikas b'su'udas chosni ziknecha. I think that's what that stands for. My father-in-law, your grandfather. Loi paras harav lefonav elam asher matzah shtei prusas nasanlo. So he's addressing your question. Seems like he's saying your answer. Saying that, yeah, it wasn't in front of the person. Gabi, the person that came there, he came there, the pieces were already broken. For his suda, that's considered to be a shalem. And he says, this is the mekayim yurdin of the shver. Again, just to review, there's halacha of Lecha Mishnah. It's important everyone's mekayim the din of Lecha Mishnah. Everyone hears the bracha from the person who has Lecha Mishnah. The person who has Lecha Mishnah doesn't start cutting it till after he finishes making the bracha. If a person has a challah which he's mesupuk, whether it's Lecha Mishnah or not, so the way that the place can say is if you pick it up from the smaller, the weaker side, and that drags along with it the heavier side, so then it's still considered to be a shalem. But according to the Netziv, a person who finds himself in a bind and already has the foresight beforehand to realize that he's going to be in a bind, so before the suda even begins, he could, barring your one caveat that you can't do it l'chatchila, but seemingly a person could cut into half, and then you have at least, even though you don't have shalem, you're at least mekayim the din of Lecha Mishnah, came to the table as, according to the Tziv, you're mekayim the din of shalem as well. That's the definition of shalem. As long as it came to the table like this, it's considered to be two, and you are mekayim the din deraisa or din derabanan of Lecha Mishnah. Wish you all a good Shabbos.
They have these breads.